the St. Louis Sports Commission studios, the hosts of the 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships, this is College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV for all of the action from the best conference in college hockey. University of Georgia, building the foundations of something bigger. Go to ugahockey.com to find out how you can be a part of it on and off the ice. Jets Pizza. We're not just pizza. Try our sidekicks, salads, and calzones at jetspizza.com. Adrian College. Championship aspirations on the ice and in the classroom. For more information, go to adrianbulldogs.com/mhockeyd1. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos. From coast to coast and beyond, wherever you need to be, Caesars has a destination that suits your style. Central Oklahoma University Hockey. Go to ucohockey.com to follow the two-time ACHA national champions as they look to add that third championship banner to the rafters. The Spaghetti Shack. ASU alumni owned and operated at thespaghettishack.com. University of Mary. For tickets and schedule information, umary.com. The Caesars Sportsbook app, where every play earns you Caesars rewards towards dining, tickets, VIP experiences, and more. But please, play responsibly. Jesse Ray's Barbecue in Las Vegas. Award-winning barbecue for your next catered event at jesseraysbarbecue.com. College Hockey Coast to Coast from the St. Louis Sports Commission Studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
Well, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be joining us this Friday night as we continue on with our coverage of the NCAA Frozen Four National Tournament. Scott Strandy with you tonight in Lake Elmo, Minnesota. My co-host, as always, joining me from that big, beautiful, palatial estate, now deemed the Command Center, Paul Hornstein. Paul, how are you out on Long Island, New York?
Let me know when you find an estate, because I haven't found one yet, and I keep looking every day.
Do you? You look every day for it, and you every can't day. Find it.
Boy, nope, you, on my way
you
home.
Better go get those eyes checked.
On my way home, I go and check. I take different routes home, and I look for it, and I don't find it. So.
Don't you ever get home then, or what? I mean,
no, obviously not.
Yeah, because that's where the estate is, I'm told.
Well, no, I'm in the basement.
Oh, that's what I told.
Well, you'd be told wrong, but that's not.
I have good sources.
Not about this, you don't.
Speaking of good sources, I'm going to be here, let's see, tonight is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so I'll be here at least three more nights, and then I think I'm going to make my way back to California and make a stop in Salt Lake City, Utah. What do you think of that?
I'm down.
If I stop in Salt Lake really nice City, there. Yeah, if I stop in Salt Lake City,
yeah,
there might be a new NHL franchise coming into town. And I don't want to, I'm bringing this up strictly from the standpoint that the announcement was made tonight that the Coyotes have been informed that they are, in fact, moving. The players and staff have been informed.
Oh, I thought we weren't going to talk about this.
Well, I know, but here's the reason why. Because that means that the Arizona State Sun Devils are going to get their building back. That's just true. For themselves. Starting next season, there will not be an NHL franchise playing in their building. And I think we're all happy about that part of it. It's always sad when teams move, and you know, we're not certainly touting that, but it just wasn't a good environment, and it was time. You know, it'd been 2 years. It was time to move them out, and that's what they've decided to do. They're going to be relocated. It's a very complicated process, but the players possibly will get to see their new city this Wednesday, I'm told.
Well,
they may fly them there. So once the season is over, they're planning on taking the guys to Salt Lake City to check it out.
Well, the only thing I'll say is that, you know, they'll eventually be back. The commissioner has made that blatantly clear.
Well, okay, let's hold on. Don't bite off more than you can chew here.
Okay.
He's made it clear that he wants a franchise there. Right. But he's also added stipulations.
I understand that.
They must have a building, which they currently do not have.
Correct.
And they must have ownership that is 100% bought into hockey.
And that's what they haven't had
for 30 years.
Correct.
Either they've had a building that's not in the right spot, or they've had a building with obstructed views. And all the way through, they've never had an owner that's wanted to be an owner of an NHL franchise. He's wanted to have the NHL franchise supplement other things.
Or so supplemented anyway, by other things, whatever.
I told you I've known this for the better part of 2 years.
Yeah, you are accurate.
It just played out. It just played out that way. I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you that I did know it, and I have known it, and I've just chosen to keep my mouth shut. I've got good sources that I didn't want to, take a chance at losing. So anyway,
I get it. They asked you not to say anything.
So there we go. But anyway, the news on the college hockey side of things is Arizona State now gets their building back, and they do get those two additional locker rooms that were built by the Coyotes, the annex, if you will.
Do we know that for sure?
What are they going to do with it? Tear it down?
No. Do we know that? You had one good game last night.
we had two good games.
You had four good teams.
Yeah. I just think, Michigan up against BC is just not a fair fight. It just isn't. Michigan is not a bad hockey team, but they can't compare to BC. Now, the game that's going to be, so let's quickly recap that. We'll start with the second game, which was a 4-0 victory for the BC Eagles. And Boston College could have made it worse, I think. I think it could have been 6 or 7, Paul. I know it was late for you, but Nick Max and I were in the building. We were just shaking our head going, holy cow. Holy cow. Are they going to do this again? And it was on the strength of a whole lot of young talent in that BC locker room. We talk about BU. We talk about the Hobie Baker Award winner today. But this BC team, boy, oh boy. It's like picking up the national development team. We've talked about this over and over again. It's like picking them up, setting them on whatever road that is in Massachusetts, in Boston, and letting them go at it.
The Mass Turnpike?
I don't know. Mass, whatever they call it.
No, well, believe me, I've heard that phrase from many, many people. Are you talking about Comm Avenue or whatever? You talking about the street that the school's on?
Yeah.
Comm Avenue.
Comm Avenue.
It's Comm Ave. They don't say Comm Ave. It's Comm Ave.
Sorry, Comm Ave. My bad. I'm just telling you. Chastised tomorrow by the rest of the Boston people that are still here in the Twin Cities.
Well, see, now this is before. I went to bed, and this is why we didn't have a podcast last night, because if one of those games went to overtime, there was no chance for me to be up that late. But it was 1-0 when I went to bed, about midway through the second period. And I don't know what the penalties were, or a couple of penalties that were called. Because you had 4-on-4 hockey with that team. Oh. They're lucky they only gave up 2 goals.
Yeah, and BC was taking penalties and giving opportunities. And Jacob Fowler, who is just stellar. I understand he's a freshman, and I understand the numbers that McClellan put up, who won the Mike Richter Award today. We'll get into that towards the end of the show. But I understand he's great. But, man, Jacob Fowler is so cool, so calm, so collected. I heard that over and over again from different people. I watched it for myself now, and he makes everything effortless. His coach, Greg Brown, said sometimes he looks disinterested. I know he's not, but he looks disinterested. So what does that say? When you're that good that you can play at the highest level of college hockey and be quote-unquote disinterested and still lead your team to a national championship game?
Well, listen, I mean, you know, you're sitting here, and I said, I mean, the goaltending on that team, for Team USA and their World Junior, Trey Augustine and Cam Fowler, I mean, holy smokes. I mean, just ridiculously off the charts.
Jacob Fowler, you like to call him Cam, but he's Jacob. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that, Jacob. I don't know where the Cam Fowler came from.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty good player himself, but anyway, in the NHL.
But yeah. But
for your Boston where, Bruins, I
yeah.
That's but, where it came from. Because yeah, you're a big Bruins fan.
Yeah. You know, it's very rare that the U.S. team is that much of a favorite at the World Juniors as they were this year. And it just keeps showing why week after week after week. I told you about 3 months ago, I thought BC was by far the best team in the country. I'm sure I've said it on here a few times. I don't remember everything I say.
David Carl noted that, by the way, today in the press conference that he held. He said, you know, Boston College is a really good team. They've held pretty much wire to wire the number one spot in the country. And I quickly reminded him, I said, Paul Hornstein did not have them at number one all year long. So just, you know, in the Super 16.
Yeah, what about it?
I told David that that wasn't the case, that you didn't have them there all year long.
Well, but did you tell him that it's because in the beginning I had Denver in the number one spot? Or did you forget that part?
Yeah, I neglected to tell him that.
Oh, yeah. What a shocker.
There were lots of people, though, that were asking about you today. Everywhere
no,
I went,
there
said,
wasn't.
Where's that New York voice?
No, they weren't.
Here?
No, they weren't. They don't recognize peons and peasants. They just want to talk to the king, baby, and that's you.
Anyway, second game last night, and by the way, that was a sellout last night. 18,859,
right?
I believe, is the correct number.
There are people questioning that, however.
Well, they were sold tickets. They weren't people that were in the building. So
right. But now, I don't know anything about the building. Don't they have a lot of nice concourse area?
Yeah, they do.
Where you don't necessarily have to be in your seat to watch the game?
Yeah, well, no.
I don't know.
There's some, but not a lot. No, there's some, but not a lot. And I'll tell you straight up, there was not 18,000 there. I'm telling you that there were 18,800 and whatever, 59 tickets sold.
Okay.
So it was a sellout, only it was not a everybody in their seat sellout. Because I think some of those tickets went to teams that thought they were going to be there and didn't get there, i.e. the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Anyway.
What did you say, 15 in a row for BC?
Yeah, 15 in a row. And you know who they lost to earlier this year? David Carl reminded us it was the best game that his team played early on.
Denver.
Yeah, 4-3. And, you know, do you remember this last Thursday? I was at the Denver practice, and I said to David Carl, I said, on paper, coach, these look like track meets, or they could be 2-1 games.
I do remember.
And he gave me this wry smile, like, you know, it's hard to tell. Games are what they are. And guess what? Denver won again, 2-1.
I know.
Their third straight 2-1 victory.
Yep.
You were downplaying my man, Matt Davis.
Oh, here
we
go.
I told him, I said, you know, I've been with you, buddy, for 2.5 years, almost 3 years.
It's my partner that's throwing you under the bus.
Yep, that's what I told him. I said, I've been with you. I've been in your corner. You know it. Anyway.
yeah, well, again, 5 losses for BC this year. Denver at home.
Yep.
At Maine.
Yep.
Home against Northeastern, at Providence, and the last loss for BC was their loss in the Beanpot Championship to be you.
Which Greg Brown will tell you was one of the turning points of their season. And obviously, 15 in a row since that point. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, that was the opening night. That was the opening night, not the championship game.
Yes, yeah, correct. I was in that BC locker room last night. I don't have the sound because Nick's got it, but
well, somebody anyway. Has it at least.
Anyway, I had a chance to visit with Gabe Perreault, one of the team development program from the U.S. team. Let's just put it that way. And he explained to me in pretty good terms why they were as good as they were. Because I asked him, I said, how do you come from that program and just jump into college like it's no big deal? You know what the answer was, Paul?
You told me, but I'll let you repeat it.
Yeah. Yeah, he told me that we play in the USHL, but we also play about 20 to 25 college teams in exhibitions during the course of the year. And he said those games are what set us up to be adapted quickly to the college game. And I knew that, but I didn't really, it wasn't really forefront in my brain that that's why they were as good as they were. But when you talk about guys like Will Smith, Gabe Perreault, I just go down the list of guys that came from that development program. Goodness gracious.
Are we talking about just on BC or?
Just on BC. Just okay. On BC. Because they've got a line of freshmen that is as good as any line in the country.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Bustle. Van load?
Well, no, I'm saying that's 10. 10 U.S. NDDP players, right? And as good as they usually are, they have a and here's me pandering to our friend Jeff. They have a Chicago Steel player on there, so you know he always tells me how great they are. So,
well, they also have the Chicago Steel's also got the Hobie Baker Award winner, by the way.
Yeah, but you know you again.
Jeff doesn't want to hear that.
No, he doesn't want to hear that part. But And this is not to knock. Well, he would. He doesn't care. Yeah, well, you know, this is not to knock the other teams because we know how good the USHL is. They actually have two players for the Steel. So we know how good USHL is, right? I mean, because a lot of players that go into college hockey are from that league. And a lot of college players end up in the NHL. So it's that's not scraping the bottom by any standard.
Nope.
So
let's go down this Denver game. It was a 2-1 overtime victory, as I just said. Their third straight in the tournament. Once they entered the tournament, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1.
Right.
This one, man, there's so many unique things in here. Both goals were scored by Tristan Lemire, Tristan Brose.
Yeah,
Tristan Brose, Bloomington, Minnesota native. Grew up about 20, 25 miles from the arena.
Never done
anything in that building before. All of a sudden, he scores an overtime winner. Paul, do you remember who scored the overtime winner in double overtime in Springfield?
Yeah,
Tristan Brose.
Yeah, whatever.
We're going to hear from Tristan in just a minute, but first I want to hear from the captain, McCade Webster, so here we go.
This Denver locker room. McCade, tell me about this one. It's another 2-1 win. That's 3 in a row. What's the formula?
Yeah, I don't know. It's our lucky number now. Kudos to all the guys in this room. You know, went through a lot that game there. It was a hell of a battle. They should all be proud of themselves over there. And, you know, we stuck to it and give it the worst for it.
You guys battled through maybe a little slow start, but then all of a sudden you poured it on. And was there any doubt in this locker room that you were going to get it done?
No, no doubt at all. We believe in ourselves in this locker room, and we know what we're capable of. And, you know, we all lean on each other, and, you know, we knew it was in the best period, but we were more excited going into the second because, you know, they hadn't seen our game yet. So, yeah, obviously you don't want to start like that, but it ended up going like this.
What was the thoughts when the penalty was called? Late in the game, and you carried it over Were you thinking you were going to win this thing in regulation?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we always think we're going to score another power play. We have a great group of guys in that power play, so many skilled guys. So they're lethal, and they can end games. We can put them away. But it ended up didn't end up happening, and, you know, move on and keep going. Get to the next shift, and, you know, it's coming.
Talk about the ability for this team to sell out, block shots, make the little plays. I thought you guys were unbelievable about that, at least the second and third period.
You know, there's no egos in this locker room. Everyone does whatever it takes. They sacrifice everything for the team. It's awesome to see, and it's so great to be a part of. I'm so lucky to be a part of this group and Denver hockey for the last 4 years. It's just in our culture that just whatever it takes and sacrifice everything you have for this team.
You can enjoy this one for a little while, but you know there's one more.
Exactly.
One more big one. When will you guys start focusing on that?
Yeah, we'll probably start focusing on it tomorrow. We'll see. We'll watch this game tonight, but we'll cover tomorrow and, you know, kind of go from there and see what happens. Probably tomorrow. Yeah, we're excited and exactly up one more. Job's not done.
McKay, great game. Great season so far. Go get it. Well, here we are, the victorious Denver Lock.
So there you go. That was McCade Webster, the captain, telling us exactly what it was like to be out on the ice. And despite the slow start, and he admitted it, it was a slow start, they responded and they set themselves up to get the job done, as he said. And you know what? They got the job done.
Well, here again, right? It's been a pattern for DU this entire postseason. All three of these games, 3-2-1 games, they start off kind of slow. You know, Matt Davis makes a big save early on Macklin Celebrini. Denver doesn't really get their first chance in the game until about 6 minutes in. Just then, you know, right after then that, they get a power play. And we could do an hour on the power plays themselves. But Denver had a bunch of power plays last night. I don't think they shot the puck enough. I'm sure they would tell you that themselves. I thought they were trying to play a little too much pretty boy hockey on the power plays.
And they also missed the net way too many times.
Got burnt as Luke Tuck gets BU's only goal of the night on a turnover at the blue line. This is a shorthanded goal. And that kind of kept Denver on their heels a little bit. It took about 4 or 5 minutes after that before Denver kind of seemed to settle in and get their feet under them.
Yep.
And then you kind of... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just listening.
All right, and I was going to say, and then they kind of started to get there, and they started to kind of grind away at, BU slowly and surely, like an old AOL, you know, landline desktop modem there. That's kind of like
an analogy. I'm gonna ask DC about that tomorrow if they win.
That's kind of the way it felt as you're watching the game. You're sitting there and you're just waiting, and they kind of slowly grinded them out. And as the game wore on, you know, Denver gets a really bad turnover by BU in their own end. And he gets a tie game. And I'm sure the goalie would like to have that shot back.
Yeah, but well, woulda, shoulda, coulda.
You don't want to turn the puck over at the goal line either. And then late in the second period, Caron makes an unbelievable save.
He made a few
of them. With like 30 seconds left as Denver's putting on the pressure. And he makes just an unbelievable save to keep the game tied at one. And you're like, oh man, if BU comes and wins this game, that's the save you're going to look at, right? Because you're gonna
oh, yeah.
like, right? Because
The word was going around the press box, my friend. It was going around.
You figure it's late in the second period, and you have a 1-1 game, so you figure the third period's going to be tight. And so you're saying to yourself, okay, that's the kind of save that turns the game around. Denver gets a power play, or, you know, is still on a power play at that time. And, you know, they were 0 for 4 on the power play. They did not have a good power play last night. But fortunately, it did not hurt them from the Denver perspective. But you, like I said, and at that point, Caron makes that save. And you're like, uh-oh. If you're rooting for Denver, you're saying, oh, boy. Right? And so now you go into the third period of a tie game, 1-1. It's anybody's game. And, you know, you're still on the edge of your seat.
Paul, here was a difference, I think, that you could see in the building. The third period came out, and Denver had exactly what they left the second period with: energy, speed, desire, taking away time and space, all of those things. But it carried over from the second to the third. And I'll tell you right now, and this is my prediction for tomorrow night, if Denver starts the way they played the second and third period and continues that all game long, they are going to wear down that great BC team as well. Because there's one thing the talented hockey players get frustrated at is losing their time and space. And Denver is a team that can do that. Okay, so well,
first
you,
of all,
you let, better be ready.
First of all, let's put the pom-poms away. Okay.
This is Denver we're talking about, not CC.
No, you're funny. Funny guy. Actually, you can say, "Oh, look, I have the winning team's pom-poms cuz they're both the same colors." Yep.
And by the way,
you will.
They're both New Balance.
Yeah, well.
Hockey programs.
Whatever.
Come on, New Balance.
The problem that Denver's going to have is if they start off slow against this BC team, they might not have a chance to come back.
No, they know that quite well.
If you start slow against BC, you might as well just stay home.
And let's understand this: they have played BC on the road,
correct,
in Massachusetts, and pulled a 4-3 victory out. They know they can play with this team. They also know they got a really good goaltender on the other end. And I think Matt Davis is playing extremely well for Denver as well. Let's hear from Sean Behrens, because he took a vicious hit, which I'll still say should have been at least a 5, possibly a 5 in the game, because it was, I see your numbers and I'm still going to drive you through the board type of hit. But Sean, as you would expect, took it very well. So here's Sean Behrens, the NCHC Defensive Defenseman of the Year.
Assessed.
Yeah, and then you had a power play.
Yeah, I haven't seen a replay yet or anything like that. Just kind of hooked me, twisted around a bit. Just a little push. I haven't looked at the replay, like I said, but I'm sure the refs made the right call. He's not a dirty player. I played with him before. He actually said sorry to me after the game, so a whole lot of respect for him. I didn't think it was all that bad, but like I said, I haven't watched it.
Okay, so when you were looking at this hockey game, and we know the Denver Pioneers have a potent offense, they have a potent power play, but you guys did it all the little things. What was set in the locker room between the first and the second?
No, we just had to start moving our feet a little bit more, winning races to pucks. I thought we were slow in the first period there. They capitalized on that. Our mistakes, but I think this team did a great job sticking together. We got to our game, and I thought our game grew as the game went along, and that's going to lead to a good result a lot of the time.
You're the NCHC reigning defensive defenseman. Tell me about the defensive style and how it all came together this year for you guys.
It's just a lot of hard work and practice. They're the long days at the start of the year. We struggle with that at the start of the year. And, you know, just to see how far this group's come defensively, it's really cool. And, you know, we have a lot of guys who don't want to play for themselves here. And that's what makes this group so special. And, you know, I'm just excited to hopefully have another good defensive outing Saturday night.
A couple of years ago, you were in this similar situation. You were a lot younger.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you're a leader. What's it going to take to get this thing done on Saturday?
You know, I just think it's staying even keel, not getting too high that we're in the national championship game, knowing we still have a job to do. But I don't think much changes with how we prepare or anything like that. We do all the same things. It's at the end of the day, it's just like every other game. So I don't think anything really changes or do anything special just because it's a national championship.
All right, final one for you. Your coach told us in the press conference the other day, you're the best defenseman sub-6 feet. So we're starting to call you sub-6. You okay with that?
Definitely not the best nickname. But, you know, I don't mind it. You know, I try to take pride in my defensive game. Just glad it's helping this team win.
John, congratulations. Yeah. Go get it done.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Let's talk about the play that you took, what, pretty vicious hit.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to get that cut. But anyway, that was Sean Behrens.
Well, listen, here's...
He loves sub-6. Come on. He loves it. He loves the sub-6 name.
No? Here's the thing. Under different circumstances, that probably gets called a 5. I don't know about a game. I don't know about a game misconduct. I don't know about an ejection. But under different circumstances, that definitely gets a 5. One, you could already see it by that point that since BU had not and eventually does not get a power play for the game, that the referees were really, 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 really hesitant to call out a 5. And I'll say this. There were missed calls on both sides. The ones they called on BU had to be called. The problem is they set themselves up and boxed themselves in a corner, these Big Ten officials. Shocking, right? That,
well, they're your favorite officials.
Yeah. They boxed themselves into a corner where when they had to call a penalty on a hit like that, they had to make the wrong call.
Yep.
Okay, they had to make the wrong call. And by the way, it's the end of that power play that, or I don't know which power play was there, but Karan made a similar save to the one he made at the end of the second period, again at the end of a power play, to keep the game tied. It's just another diving, unbelievable save.
Yep, totally agree with him. All right, we'll be here all night if we don't get to this next clip. So let's get to Tristan Bros, the game winner, the kid from Bloomington, Minnesota, the transfer. And you hear my questions in just a second.
I've had this 15 times already, but being back in Minnesota, doing it, is there any bigger stage for you right now?
No, I mean, obviously not. We're trying to stay in the moment, and that was one of our keys to the game tonight, was just to stay in the moment. It's pretty special to play here at home in Minnesota in a national championship game in 2 days.
A lot been made about you making the transfer to Denver, and coach said it maybe wasn't easy for you or your teammates, but you're all together now, you're one big squad.
Yeah.
What does it feel like now, a couple of years into that?
It's pretty tough to put that in, and that's a good question to put that into words. I mean, you know, we're just a brotherhood. Like, it's not, you know, I happen to score the goal tonight, but like every single guy in the locker room stepped up for a long time now, and you know, it's just a brotherhood. Like, we love each other. We don't really care who gets the goals, who gets the glory. It's just, you know, we have a goal in mind, and we got one more game to accomplish it.
Okay, so if 3 months ago I would have said, hey, Tristan Bros, you're going to win three games in a row to get you into a national championship game, and the scores are going to be 2-1, what would you have told me?
I probably wouldn't have believed you, to be honest. I mean, to have your first 3-2-1 games of the year come in all three in the tournament, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. But, you know, it's, you got to find ways to win in different ways. And I think that's just a testament to our team. And,
are you guys comfortable playing overtime games?
I mean, you're never comfortable. I mean, you know, it's a little stressful, you know, and especially when they get chances and stuff the other way. But we got Mark back there backing us up, and we're certainly confident. I mean, I wouldn't say comfortable, but confident.
What's it going to take to end this one and get a national championship number 10?
It's a pretty tough question again. We don't really know we're going to play yet, so we're still going to have to watch the video on whoever comes out of the next game. But, you know, it's one game, you know, to win a national championship. So, I mean, you got to give everything you have in that game, and, chips fall where they may.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Go get it done.
Okay, there you go. That being Tristan Bro is the Minnesota kid from Bloomington, Minnesota, just down the street. About 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes from XL Energy Center. I was told that was the last question, too, by the way, in case you didn't hear that.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, love the locker room spirit. Love the fact that the NCAA is allowing us in now for 30 minutes following games and be able to talk to everybody, because it was frustrating in the past where they would bring out three players and that was it. Because, you know, the media's got connections with different players. So Tristan Burroughs getting it done in overtime, finds a five hole, probably a goal that our puck should have been stopped, but it didn't. They won. They're now playing for championship number 10. They know, as our good friend Nick Triviola said from Let's Go DU, take a breath now. Because I know that Michigan can't get 10.
Well, yeah, it's Nick. It's.
By the way, Nick's
we might
doing
not,
taxes
but they can
at the same time. He was a little stressed out. He said, "You know what? I'm gonna have to go back to my room and do taxes all night now." his real job before. Before he comes back for the championship game tomorrow.
Well, that'll be good because at some point I might need somebody to do taxes. So. If I ever get to that point, I know who to call.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so there you go. DU and BC, identical callers. They have the same company providing their equipment or their jerseys, socks, and New Balance. The edge in coaching on this one, Paul? David Carl.
Yeah.
He's got more experience. I mean, this is only Greg's second year. And Greg will quickly tell you that. This is only my second year. There were questions today, Paul, in the press conference about to David Carl about George Gwozdecki and what did George teach you? And did George tell you it was going to be a crazy environment like this? And David handled it, as you would expect, very well. He said, you know what, one of the things he learned from Coach Gwozdecki was delegate and trust what you delegate. If you have guys that are on your staff that have a certain thing that they're going to do and be responsible for, then trust them. And he said that's one of the things he's been really taken to heart with his staff, is that he's going to trust what he puts in front of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, that's the deal, right? I mean, they have the experience, and you know, experience always matters. Always matters. So,
I don't know if you knew this, Paul Hornstein, but the last time they won a national championship, I was there. It was in Boston?
Yeah, yeah, I'm aware.
You remember Boston?
I am aware.
And who did they beat, Paul Hornstein? Your team. The Mavericks.
They didn't beat ASU.
Oh, come on now. You're a Barney Rubble guy as much as anybody. And at that time, he was at Minnesota State. Anyway, so that's the matchup for tomorrow night. Early start. I mean, early start. And people here were really starting to whine about it. Why are we playing at 5 p.m. Central Time? Goodness gracious, can't we play at night? What's wrong with the 7 o'clock start? I said, Paul Hornstein is the problem because he wants that game early.
Yeah.
Ready your dinner time, though, 6 o'clock.
It's true.
That's not good.
It is what it is. Whatever.
Anyway, that'll be the matchup tomorrow. Let's take a quick break. Let's come back because we got a couple more things on the docket here. First, the awards day, as they call it in St. Paul now, or in the Frozen Four, Friday night at the Frozen Four, this edition, St. Paul. Hobie Baker Award, Mike Richter Award, Hockey Humanitarian Award, Rookie of the Year, and the All-American Hockey Teams, as well as the Unsung Hero Award. So we'll get to all that in just a minute.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
The St. Louis Sports Commission invites you to become part of the legacy of the heartland of hockey as they and the city of St. Louis host 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships. From the Stanley Cup to college champions to an exploding youth hockey community, St. Louis hockey has a long storied tradition. Find out how you can be a part of it by visiting us at www.stlsports.org. The St. Louis Sports Commission, making St. Louis a better place to live, visit, work, or play through sports.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious,
visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations at 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com. From the St. Louis Sports Commission studios, hosts of the 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships, this is College Hockey Coast to Coast.
Indeed it is, College Hockey Coast to Coast, a special edition. Scott Strandy with you today in Lake Elmo, Minnesota, just outside of St. Paul, 15-minute drive or so to the XL Energy Center. My co-host, as always, joining me from the new Command Center, right in the heart of the palatial estate on Long Island, New York, Paul Hornstein. And Paul, the hockey is fantastic, but the stuff that goes along with it on Frozen 4 Week, as I just mentioned before the break, Friday night at the Frozen Four, it's culminated with the Hobie Baker Award, but so many other awards that are up and or that are being presented, I should say, is probably the best way to look at it. I sent you a few things from there. Your thoughts on the awards tonight. We can hear you better when you're not on mute.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what to say, so.
Okay, I'll take you off the hook. Let's start with the Mike Richter Award, sponsored by the Hockey Commissioners Association. Three finalists, Kyle McClellan, University of Wisconsin, senior, Jacob Fowler, freshman from Boston College, and Caden, the sponge, and Barico, the sophomore sensation from Colorado College. All three very deserving of winning this award. I guess if you look at the numbers, the 931 save percentage, the 1.94 goals against, McClellan, who had like 1,097 saves this season, probably earns it on that. But boy, Jacob Fowler with a great season, Caden and Barico with a great season. I mean, Caden and Barico, 2,227 minutes played. That's a lot. That is a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
So anyway, the award goes to Kyle McClellan, and first time a Wisconsin Badger has won that award. Of course, Mike Richter played for the Wisconsin Badgers. So the namesake was there. He was all smiles. Congratulations to Kyle McClellan.
Yeah,
let's move over to the,
yeah.
Okay, let's move over to the Tim Taylor Rookie of the Year Award. Shocker, Macklin Celebrini.
As one of the
top players in the country, also happens to be a 17-year-old freshman.
Crazy,
I mean,
he just
one was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
The Derek Hines Unsung Hero Award, that one went out to a Derek Hines being a former Army player,
right,
who was killed in Afghanistan.
Right.
And that's where the award came from. It went to Luke Robinson, the defenseman from the Air Force Academy. That was cool. I really didn't expect that, but that was really cool to see Luke get that award.
Yeah. Yeah, and Luke is in the portal, so it'll be very interesting to see where he ends up.
Well, and he's a
if
senior,
he decides
so he's
to keep
got
playing.
To do grad stuff. So,
well, obviously,
sounded tonight like he was just going to go right into his military career. That's the way it sounded tonight from what I
heard.
Well,
that could be. That could be. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway.
If he decides to keep playing.
Yeah. It sounds like from what he said tonight, like he was moving on. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. Men's Division I Coach of the Year, Greg Brown, was announced on Wednesday. And, boy, he was just like, I want no part of this. This has got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And it's got everything to do with my players. And I want no part of it. But they did get a few comments out of him. I think it's pretty deserving. My vote, however, would have gone to Chris Mayotte. I don't think anybody in NCAA hockey has done a better job than Chris Mayotte, not only this year, but the past 3 years in rebuilding a program. In 3 years, Paul. 3 years.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about it.
You know, he was taken out of the tournament this year, I think kind of unfairly, but that's another story
another
day. Okay, yeah. So we got that. We got the list. I don't know if you have the list in front of you of the ace in the coaches All-American team. If you do,
I do not. I have not seen that anywhere.
Okay. If you, and I'll give him a shout out because I've been giving him a bad time all week. Brad Schlossman does have it up on his Twitter account. So if you want to go through there, you can find him. East, West, First, Second, just strictly by going down his Twitter feed, I'm pretty sure.
It's fine. We can find that tomorrow. I'm sure it'll, you know.
Anyway, the Hockey Humanitarian Award this year went to Penn State junior forward Dylan McGurris. They talked about what he did in involving himself and his teammates and his whole program in the sled hockey team, the State College Coyotes, sled hockey team. What a great story. And Dylan came up with the idea of Penn State Sled Hockey Classic last year, brought him into Pagoula. I had them play in front of what they call their Lion's Den or whatever that's called,
right,
at Pagoula. anyway, just you know, all five of the finalists. And every year it's the same, Paul. There's always great cases. They should all be winners. True. And they are winners. But Jack Quinn from LIU was up. Hank Kemp from the junior defenseman from Cornell was up. And then, of course, Ray Scott, the women's side of things, the senior defenseman from Merrimack College, and Sarah Thompson, the senior forward from Syracuse, were all up for the honor. It goes to Dylan McGurris. So anyway, I just wanted to get those out there as far as, I forgot the Hobie Baker. Three great players in the Hobie Baker: Macklin Celebrini, Jackson Blake, Cutter Gauthier. This one goes to Macklin Celebrini. Surprise? No.
Well, no. Listen, he did a great job playing one on everybody else last night.
He was the only player staying for BU?
It sounded like it.
Okay, can I tell you just a little bit about Macklin Celebrini, though?
That's not a knock against him.
No. But I'm just telling you, in winning this award today,
yeah,
he was still frustrated that they weren't playing tomorrow night.
Good.
And it was clear. It was still bothering him that they weren't playing. And he talked a lot about that. I just would rather have us playing than have this award. And one of his teammates we've been talking an awful lot about wasted no time in signing his contract today. That one, Lane Hudson, 3-year deal with the Montreal Canadiens, and he's gone.
Yeah, well, listen.
Surprised at that quickly?
No, I'm not. Again, you know, not surprised at that. This is what happens this time of the year. Of course, Celebrini
I'm
can't.
I'm talking about the quickness of it all.
No,
less
it doesn't.
Than 24 hours after the loss.
Well, come on. We all know that contract was negotiated already. Plus, they have the entry-level contracts, et cetera.
What?
Doesn't take that long.
Really?
Really.
Oh,
the only reason why
Celebrini just shattered my bubble.
Sorry.
I didn't think that stuff happened.
Sorry.
Scott Samuel,
you know,
come to my rescue.
When Salt Lake City wins the draft lottery this year. Oh, no, I didn't say that, did I?
Oh, you said it. You said it.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So anyway, Macklin wins it. No surprise.
No.
I think the only thing that was funny was he was asked on TV live on the NHL Network. He said, what would you tell your parents? And he kind of misinterpreted it. And he said, I would tell them to work harder and keep working at what you're doing to be, you know, be the best you can be. And then they said, are you sure you want to tell your parents that? And he goes, oh. Oh, and then the host saved him and said, maybe that was meant towards your little brother who was sitting there. And then Macklin said, no, obviously I want to thank my parents for all their support and my coaches and teammates. So very cool. A couple of quick notes on the Hobie Baker. Ryan Duncan was in the building, former Hobie Baker Award winner from North Dakota. Great to see Ryan. I hadn't seen him in years. And that was my first covered Hobie Baker was when he won it for the University of North Dakota. So that was fun. Jason Blake was in the building along with the entire Blake family. That was fun. You know, there was just a number of great former players. Mike Richter, as I mentioned before, which got Paul a little riled up when I told him they started the chant MSG, MSG, NYR, NYR. No?
No.
That didn't bother you? Oh, okay. Just checking, because then Jackson Blake came around, and you're going like, oh, this is cool. Former Islander.
You mean Jason Blake?
Oh, yeah, Jason, sorry. Jackson was there, too, by the way.
I'm sure he was.
Who, by the way, has also signed a deal with the Carolina Hurricanes and will join them probably right now. In Chicago.
That was fast. I'm sure it'll be just in time to be a pain in the tuchus to the Islanders if they play in them in the playoffs. Because the Hurricanes are not enough of a pain in the tuchus.
Anyway, in addition today to a couple of things, and I want to throw this out because I think this might be interesting. Denver has gotten ridiculed twice now. One, they came in on the red carpet wearing their brand new New Balance tracksuits. And right. Everybody's going like, oh, what a disgrace. You should be in your full suit and tie. Denver doesn't care. They do what they do. So they just came in. So that was a little bit of a ridicule. Today, they were supposed to practice, and David Carl called off the practice. He said, nope, just do your treatment, do your whatever you need to do, get ready for tomorrow. You're not going to skate today. And that led to some confusion to the crazy media people, me not included in that mess, that were going like, oh, we can't talk to all these players because they didn't practice and they're not in the locker room. To which Denver then opened up a two-hour time slot from 4:30 to 6:30 Central Time at their hotel if you wanted to go speak to their players. And they kind of appeased everybody by saying, we'll have all of our players available between 4:30 and 6:30 if you come over to the hotel. Well, the problem with that was the Hobie Baker and all the other awards were going on between 4 and 5:30. So it left you a very small window if you were going to cover both. Anyway, I just think that might be something to think about. BC skated today. I guess they had a lot of fun. I did not see that practice, but apparently there was a lot of fun going on. The guys were realizing that's it was good. The last time they were going to practice together.
That's
no
good.
Matter what happens.
That's cool.
So, but is that anything to be thinking about right now, Paul, as we approach the championship game? One team says no to practice. One says let's have a fun, loose practice.
Does it really matter at this point?
Okay. Curious on that.
You know, I mean, who's played the more grinding, demanding games?
The Denver Pioneers.
Yeah. So get the rest. You know, they're not going to lose their game conditioning overnight.
No, absolutely not. And David Carl certainly knows his teams. We talked about that before. Experience, experience, experience. He's been there. He's been in a situation. I remember back in 2022, people said, Michigan, Minnesota, Minnesota State, Denver. Denver's the last one or the first one out. Nope, that didn't happen that way. They won in overtime. David Carl also brought up something interesting today in his press conference. He said, I just was looking at a tweet that said since like 2016 or whatever, the champion has always had to win an overtime game. So he said, this is an extremely difficult tournament to win. We know that. We're not taking BC lightly. Our focus has been on them 100%. And I guarantee you that there will be a fired up Denver University team. You don't get this close that many times, and he knows it. So he'd like to put them over the top with that 10th national championship tomorrow night.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, that's why you're playing, right?
Okay. Following their press conference, Paul, there was this little thing they call State of the Game press conference. Four gentlemen were there. I believe I sent you the picture. I believe you know who they all are. They were there to give us a overview of where college hockey stood currently. So we're talking about, Jeff Schulman.
Right.
Steve Metcalf, Eric Martinson, and Scott Sandlin. So you've got Scott Sandlin, a head coach at Minnesota Duluth. Eric Martinson is on the rules committee, as well as being the deputy athletic director at North Dakota. Eric Martinson is on the committee as well, rules committee. He's the chairman. He's from also the commissioner of Hockey East. And Jeff Metcalf is the commissioner of Hockey East and not on the on the Rules Committee. Jeff Shulman is the chair of the NCAA committee and the guy that you see making the decisions ultimately for the tournament. How do you feel, Paul?
You know how we quote a certain movie all the time? Where they,
yep,
a bunch of,
yep,
guys from Minnesota, yep, and Boston, yeah, that'll work.
Yep.
Problem is, here it doesn't.
It can just, I tell you, doesn't, something before you get into your rant? Can I tell you something? My 4-year-old grandson, Rowan, saw a picture of, or a statue of Herb Brooks in downtown St. Paul one day. And he wanted to know who that was. And his mom and dad said, that's Herb Brooks. And he was in this movie called Miracle. And when your grandpa gets here, we're going to have him watch Miracle with you.
Right.
So tomorrow morning, early, Rowan and I are going to watch Miracle.
Nice.
Not now. Not,
not tonight.
Not tonight. Good one. Good one. You picked up on it. Anyway, go ahead and give me your thoughts before I dig into what happened here, too. And we, you know, we're way over already, but what the heck?
Well, we're not that far over yet, but basically, the state of the game is great. No, there's more. That part there, there's more talent now than ever. Yeah, absolutely. But basically, at one point, the question was brought up about, you know, growing the game in more teams. And they said, well, too bad. They have independence. No, they're screwed. We don't care.
I asked the question, Paul.
Oh.
I was the one that asked that question. I said,
oh.
I want to preface it for you guys, preface this for you guys by saying I'm pleased with the way the tournament is played right now and the amount of quality players and teams. But I am concerned in the growth factor. And they tried to stop me then, jokingly. They said, okay, well, great. Thanks for the question. And then I said, oh, no, I'm not done yet. The question is, what will you do, and have you had any kind of discussions on how you will handle independence? Because I told them, I said, I started my company 8.5 years ago when ASU announced that they were going to have an NCAA hockey team. And we also decided to take on the other independents as in our coverage area. And I said, even though ASU has found a home in the NCHC and the Ninth Star, as you like to say, other teams have not. And the answer came from Steve Metcalf. And he basically looked me in the eye because I was in the front row. And he said, if you're coming on board as a new franchise, new school in NCAA hockey, you better be prepared to have a conference to play in, and you better have the resources to play in. And then the one that I think both got to you and I was, he said, you know, where they're located, and I'm assuming he was talking about Alaska right now. He said, where they're located has a big effect on who teams or how teams will play them. You know, expenses are high, he said, and travel costs, and to go play here and there. And I'm going right now, that's hogwash. Because, you know, every other sport in NCAA plays teams all around the country. And Alaska's not new to the dance. They've been around, as you like to say. What happened to them, Paul?
They got stabbed in the back. I mean, their conference... They wouldn't leave the conference, so the conference left them.
Yep, and left them high and dry. And we've talked about this multiple times, and again, this is not an Arizona State discussion. This is an independent university hockey program discussion. If the way the current system is set up, if you want a shot, and ASU did make it, they were one of what? The first one in how many years, Paul?
30 years.
Okay. First one in 30 years. If you want to make that tournament, you have to be nearly perfect. You have to be like, you have to play almost like the number one team in the country, the Boston College Eagles. And then, Paul, if you do that, you know where you come in? 12, 13, 14, if you're in lucky. That range. You're not going to get higher than 12. Now, where's the fairness in this? And I'm not even going down the fairness road, because that'll take us forever. I'm just going to go down to say, like I told the committee, or at least tried to convey to the committee, that or the four gentlemen that were up on the panel, how do you expect the game to grow if these teams basically have to tell their players, hey, we want you to come play for us, but you've got essentially a 1% chance of making the tournament. And if you do make the tournament, you're going to be the 14 seed, and we can't guarantee you that you're going to be a host school, so you'll be the University of Massachusetts when you're the 14 seed.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. You're basically, you know, where Herb Brooks tried to make his team come together. Those guys in that committee are just like, yeah, whatever. I don't know if the coach is in that same mindset, but I guarantee the administrators are like, whatever. As long as we're taken care of, don't worry about it. We're not going to worry about everybody else. And that's been the problem.
Can I say it's still the reigning problem?
Well, yeah, I didn't say it wasn't still a problem. I said it's been the problem.
The only way that I can see anything happening, and I get frustrated, and Scott Sandlin, you know I love you and love the Bulldogs program. I'm an alum, after all. Scott uses a lot that we need to have discussions, open, honest discussions. There comes a time where you've got to stop discussing and make a decision, right? You can't just say, well, we discussed it in April in Naples. We discussed it in April in Naples. You can't just keep saying that and expect something to happen.
Basically, what they're telling you is we have made a decision. We just don't want to tell you what it is, because then we'll take the heat. So this way, nobody takes any heat for it.
Yeah, maybe. Line of it is, if you're an independent right now, you have a rough road. Arizona State was fortunate, really fortunate, that they were able to find a home in the NCHC and that they had the resources to pay for it. But that was basically what I was told, is you better have the resources and you better find a home prior to committing into the NCAA. And that's not going to happen. So,
listen, we understand.
How can this happen? The way it can happen is that the independents can band together and go to the committee and say, listen, they're 6, 7, 8, whatever it might happen to be in a couple of years, and we want one spot in the tournament. So at least we can have our guys play for something. That's the only way it's going to change, because you will never get them all in a conference. Never. You can't make me. You can't make me, is what they're saying.
Right. And again, what they're saying is, we talk all the time is, yeah, we talk, so we can say we talk, but we're not going to do anything about it. Because, you know, this is for us and not you guys. So basically what they're saying is, if they started college hockey today, the small schools like Duluth and St. Cloud and Lake Superior and some of these, they wouldn't exist, because you wouldn't let them exist. Even though that's what makes the game, that is one of its most enduring and charming features, is that St. Cloud can play on the same ice as Michigan, or so forth and so on.
What about Denver?
That's one of the beauties of college hockey.
I totally agree with you, but I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen, because there is absolutely no talk of conference realignment. There is no talk of conferences having to pick up teams that are independent. There's zero talk of anything, except they did mention that they'd heard scuttlebutt. Maybe it was my scuttlebutt they heard about the independents wanting to come together to form a quote-unquote independent conference.
Yeah, so I get it. Listen, again,
they weren't totally opposed to that. But if you think you're going to get any of these conferences to take in any independents, it's not happening.
Yeah, well, again, we've said what the answer is. Expand the tournament, give the independent schools a bid, and you get three more bids of your own. But they won't hear that either, because
I don't know if that's been brought to them, Paul. And I would like to be upfront and say that's something that should be brought up in Naples. You know?
Well, but again, talk to your buddy Scott Sandlin.
But the problem with this is that you have to have somebody unifying them. They won't all come together and say, we're the independents, listen to us. Nope. They need to find one person to go to the committee and say, I represent Fairbanks, Stonehill, Anchorage, Lindenwood, Long Island, whatever, whoever else might be there. And this person has to go into the committee and say, listen, I represent six or seven or whatever many schools there are that are independents, and this is how we want you to make it work so that we're all competitive. They talked about, Paul, of course, the Canadian Junior League, allowing those players to come in and play college hockey. And right. One of the questions that was brought up was, if that happens, aren't you going to need more teams? Isn't that number? Well, if you don't have enough lockers right now and you're going to bring in those players as well, aren't you going to need more teams? And if you need more teams, how are you going to add more teams?
Don't bother me with logic.
Okay, my bad. Sorry. Anyway, but that was the discussion. The other thing that was obviously the hot topic button was the portal and NIL. And I don't know. I guess I might not be close enough to it, but I don't see guys jumping for NIL dollars. Maybe there is a lot behind the scenes. I see them jumping for a couple of reasons. Wanting to play with their friends and wanting to play for a championship. So you look at the guys from Anchorage, they probably really love playing in Anchorage, but the handwriting was on the wall. You can't play for a championship if you play in Anchorage. So you lose guys like Harrison Israel. You lose guys like Fairbanks. Brady Risk.
Fairbanks.
Fairbanks. You lose players like that are quality players that, can you blame them? You go... Every student athlete in NCAA has one goal in mind, winning a national championship. That's why you go to college. There's benefits of advancing to the professional ranks, but how are you going to get somebody to come to your program in Fairbanks or Anchorage or Lindenwood or Stonehill or Long Island if they're looking at it and going like, well, we don't have a conference, so we either have to go 30-6 to get a look, or we don't have a chance.
Well, we might want to have this discussion when we have a little more time.
We will. I just wanted to get that in there, is the fact that they did have a state of the game, and they did say that the state of the game was healthy and good, and I can't deny that. They put up numbers today that
semantics.
This was the highest amount of revenue, like 77%.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, all of that was good. The tournament's good, all that. But you're talking about growth now. And you can't grow without more teams. And more teams aren't coming unless they're going to be given the opportunity to play for a title.
Unless they have a chance.
All right. I'm done.
From the St. Louis Sports Commission Studios, hosts of the 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships, this has been College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson, where our food can be summed up in one word, perfection. Liberty University. Strengthen your faith and your game at the premier ACHA M1 program on the East Coast at liberty.edu. Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly. Two locations in Tempe, one in Pine Top. Lunch dinner or your next catered event at SpaghettiShack.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, where the action is, from the Atlantic to the Pacific and around the world. And by FedEx, delivery is made easy no matter where you are, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. College Hockey Coast to Coast and all of the Ice Time Hockey West podcasts are live every week on the Podbean app, or for download at your favorite podcast platform by searching and subscribing at ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. It's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. If you like what you hear, tell a friend or leave a positive review. College Hockey Coast to Coast from the St. Louis Sports Commission Studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. I will tell you that we will be live tomorrow, right after the championship game is over, concluded. 8:30 is approximate time, but stay tuned with us here in the Podbean app if you want to listen live, or you'll be able to listen, of course, on the download once the show is complete. Nick Maxim will be with me live tomorrow for the championship coverage. Paul Hornstein will be in the command center out on Long Island on the palatial estate. Paul, are the flowers blooming and growing yet? Is anything growing at the estate?
What estate?
Sharp. You are pretty sharp for this late at night.
True.
Get some rest. Big day tomorrow. And we'll have a new champion this time tomorrow night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.